send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Can you feel the love?
Welcome to baseball. Yeah. Welcome to Baseball Central for Friday, June 17th. June 17th is unlucky, isn't it? Friday the 17th?
No. If you say so.
It's Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. We're giddy today because the Toronto Blue Jays
are good.
Well, yeah. We're on the bandwagon. Hear that sound? That's a bandwagon filling up.
Why not?
13-2 winners over Philadelphia last night, sweeping a two-game series, taking 3 of 4 at home. Today they start a three-game series against the Orioles.
Well, it wasn't at home. Two were at home.
Camden,
two
on the road. I said they took three. Okay, it was a home and home. They play the Orioles today in the first of a three-game series. Mike Wright, who didn't think Edwin Encarnacion was all that the last time he saw him, will be on the mound for the Orioles. Aaron Sanchez for the Blue Jays. And, well, where to begin with last night's game? As we said, 13-2. Edwin continues to lead the way for the Blue Jays. Edwin having quite a month. And it ain't over yet. This is Edwin's month. He says as he calls up the stats, trying to find them. Here we go. Edwin's month. Drum roll. 8 homers. 21 RBIs, a .314 batting average. His OPS is 1.272. He's still got 12 games to play. Think back to last August. One of the best months in Blue Jays history by a player. Edwin, 11 homers, 35 ribbies, a .407 average, a 1.379 OPS. 12 games left to play. 35 ribbies going to be hard to get. 12 games left to play, though.
That's pretty good, right?
He is, and last night... well, do we have that quote from Kevin Pillar that we played at the top of the Blair Show? The comment from Kevin Pillar about hitting Edwin hitting the home run in the curve. I want to play this, and I want to talk to Kevin about this. This is Kevin Pillar last night.
You know, for a younger pitcher to have, you know, his best pitch, his curveball, be hit out in the first inning, he kind of shied away from it a little bit. Gave a lot of us a lot of fastballs to hit, and you know that's what I'm talking about, having some of the best hitters in the game. Eddie knows that's his best pitch. He might be going up there looking for it early, trying to do damage with it, and he didn't miss it, and he bought us a lot of heaters.
That was Kevin Pillar talking about Edwin Encarnacion homering on a curveball from Aaron Nola. That's one of Aaron Nola's big pitches. I wanted to ask you about that, Mr. Barker, because Aaron Nola, and there was a great camera shot. You could tell he looked around like, what the hell just happened? And from that point on, this is a guy who throws like 30% curves.
Yeah.
From that point on, he just threw his fastball.
Okay, I'll say this. I know when Edwin took the fastball very first pitch when he came up to bat, he took the fastball and he said something in Spanish, which was Diablo. Now you can figure out what that means. Meaning, to me, what that said was basically a center cut right down the middle. I saw it. The next time I see it, I'm going to hit it hard. Mm-hmm. When he swung at the breaking ball, it looked like he was looking fastball. Right now, he's good enough to. The reason why I say he looked like he was looking fastball is because his stride was a little bit longer than it normally is. Normally, it's a little bit of what he does to get it started. The stride's not very long. He gets the foot down. He uses his hands. This time, when he hit the breaking ball, he was trying to cover ground because he was a little fooled. He recognized breaking ball. He kept his hands back, and then he threw his hands. That's the sign of a great hot hitter at the time. But the one thing that stood out to me, what Pillar said, was getting us more fastballs to hit. And the reason I say that is Josh Donaldson, me and you come on this show for whatever time. We've heard Donaldson talk for basically the entire season about how many breaking balls he's getting. First at bat, Jeff, he saw 6 pitches. He got the single up the middle, 5 fastballs. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he's talking about. Every pitcher now that's standing, whenever they come up, they're seeing Donaldson. They look on the on-deck circle, and they're seeing Edwin Encarnacion standing over there, and you just notice the 21 RBIs in the 14 games in June. He's got the 61 RBIs. I said it, one of the big three needs to start carrying this team to make everybody else better. And that is exactly what Edwin's doing. Russell Martin, two more RBIs last night. That's seven games in a row with an RBI. That's a career high. Over that span, he's hitting .389 with an OPS of 1.147. That's getting it done. Mm-hmm. Pilar, we just heard him talk. He had three more hits last night with three RBIs to two home runs. He's starting to be, simplifying it. You're seeing Ryan Goins go up. It's simple. What it is, when I say one of the big three had to get it going, it takes pressure off everybody else. You know, you saw Edwin go up, hit the two-run homer. They had the 2-0 lead in the first inning right out the gate. What's that do? That takes pressure off your defense, your pitching, everybody else in that lineup. Now all they got to do is go up, see ball, hit ball. If you see breaking ball because Nola has a good one, lay off it, don't swing at it. That's what Pilar said. We're going to get fastballs. We're going to get in counts that we can hit the fastball, and we get it, we don't miss it. That's what superstars doing, and that's what this team and this lineup is doing right now. When one of the big three and now two of the big three with Donaldson starting to hit because he's getting more fastballs. You know, it's the American League East is all about hitting.
Mm-hmm.
The Blue Jays are no different. They hit. They are one of the best teams in baseball, not just the American League, in baseball. And that's one of the main reasons why I said they were going to make the World Series is because of the way they hit. And when you have the one of the big three, two of the big three doing what they're doing, man, it's – and then you have the starting rotation doing what they're doing, getting deep in games and sort of eliminating your a little bit of your weakness. That's what it does. Hitting and your starting rotation eliminates a little bit of that bullpen, and they're playing defense the way they are. You know, they're all headed in the right direction going in facing the best team in the American League East right now.
The loss by the Phillies is the type of loss that generally leads a manager to hold a closed-door meeting, which is what Pete McCannon did. One of the reasons was a play in the eighth inning by Odubel Herrera. And this is how it sounded. This is Jerry Howarth calling the play when Odubel Herrera forgets the number of outs in the eighth inning.
Saunders hits a fly ball to right center field. Moving over for it, Herrera, the center fielder, he fills up the gap, makes the catch. Edwin drifts back to first, and the ball is thrown into the crowd. He thought there were two outs when he made the catch. And so that's an error, obviously. And Odubel Herrera caught the ball, looked up into the bleachers, threw it up there into the crowd, and he's charged with a two-base throwing error because that's only the second out, and Herrera now has put his glove over his face walking back to center field. Oh, Pete McCannon is going to probably hold a clubhouse meeting after this game and say, gentlemen, I don't mind losing, but we can't lose the way we're losing tonight.
Well, Jerry was right. Pete McCannon did have a clubhouse meeting. You'd be surprised how often a player forgets how many outs there are. In fact, I covered maybe one of the most famous instances where a player forgot the number of outs there was.
Piazza in the outer right field. Larry Walker in foul territory. Now Offerman tagged up on that play. And Walker doesn't know how many outs there were. He gave it. Offerman will go back to third.
Well, wait a minute. This is something I don't understand. I think Walker gave the ball to a fan.
He thought that was the third out.
Yeah, but how can they? I don't understand how. Well, I guess it's like a throw into the seats. Okay, I guess that's what they're saying. It's like a throw into the seats. You get two bases. Even though he didn't throw it in,
man,
he gave it to someone.
I'm surprised Walker remembered to show up tonight.
Yeah. You get two bases beyond the base you already have.
Right. See, if he gives it to that kid.
Yeah.
Here's the funny part. He goes back to get it, though. That's what's funny. Yeah. Now, what if the kid doesn't give it to him?
Right now, at this point, Offerman is still on the way to second base,
right,
which means he only gets third.
Now watch. So he goes back to get the ball.
Oh.
Maury.
Yeah.
Now, it's often said that you see something new all the time in the ballpark. Have you ever seen that?
Well, I haven't, but maybe... No, nothing like that.
That was, I think it was John Miller with the call of that game. That was a Sunday night game in Dodger Stadium I was covering against the Montreal Expos. There was a full moon. Larry Walker forgot the number of outs, but the best part of it was he gave the ball, flips the ball into the stands. Then he goes and takes it from the kid, asks the kid for it. The kid gives it to him, and then he throws it back in. And it was great because I said there was a full moon that night, and I remember ESPN was doing the game. They had this great camera shot. They had a close-up of the full moon, and they put Larry Walker's face
yeah.
in the moon.
So it happens to the best of players, is what you're trying
Larry
to say.
Larry Walker's a gold glove.
100%.
Gold glove outfielder. Come on. Have you ever forgotten the number of outs, though?
No. Well, I'm sure I have, but it's never it never came into play that I actually gave a ball to a to somebody in the stands. Yeah, it's basically what it is. You just have to, during the game, you know, the Phillies right now are not doing a whole lot right. And when you're losing games by, when you're losing games the way they are by a lot, it, you know, it's there's no excuse for it. That's why, you know, you see sometimes young players need to yell at either position, right field, left field, if you're playing center. Ask the guy how many outs there is. If you don't remember, you don't know, you know, a stupid question is one not being asked, right? So I think that's something.
Wait, what was that? A stupid question
is one you don't ask.
I got to write that down.
How about that? 101, Barker.
A stupid question
is one you don't ask.
Question?
No?
One you don't ask. Okay, I like that.
Damn. Well, you don't know till you ask sort of thing, right?
Yeah. No, that's fine. I'm okay with it. A stupid question is one you don't ask.
Do I need to sign that?
No.
All right. Anyway.
So you've never forgotten the number of votes.
I've never flipped the ball into the stand. And then tried to go get it. And because
have you flipped the ball into the stands forgetting the number of votes? You've never done that.
No.
There may have been times in a game where you looked around and thought, oh, yeah, we're still got one out left.
Yeah, well, I played a lot in the minor leagues and a lot of places I played in, there weren't a whole lot of fans to flip the ball to. So you,
that's true.
Those are certain times and certain parts of games. This is why managers are having, things after games and talks after games that you have to say basically, hey, it's okay, we're losing games by 10 runs, but let's not flip balls in the stands. Let's understand the outs. Let's know what's going on. Let's do your job, and then everything else will take care of itself. It's a learning experience. I'm sure it'll never happen again. And you move on from it. It looked awful. But what looks good with the Phillies right now, besides their starting rotation?
Yeah.
You can say their starting rotation's okay.
He's got good stuff, Nolan.
Sure he does. But he just ran into Edwin, basically, is what happened. And Edwin's making everybody else around him really, really good. So, yeah, it looked awful. And I'm sure a lot of people threw their hands up and was like, hey, that should never happen. But it does happen because Mr. Walker did it once. And if he did it, then it happens.
Pat Tabler will join us at 11:40, by the way. Blue Jays analyst.
Nice.
We got a lot of questions to ask
a
him.
A lot.
He and Buck made this made a comment about Jay Happ and the slider last night that we're
What else I want to ask him is the slide at second base.
Well, we'll deal with that amongst ourselves first, though. Did you see how Greg and Jamie broke it down?
Oh, I'm sure everybody did.
Yeah, it did. Jamie ended up, went ass over tea kettle on the ground. There's something about...
That's awesome.
Greg, of course, wearing his three-piece suit with the spats on his shoes. But I think, one of the things, and a couple of people mentioned this on Twitter, and I like it. I would like to see the Major League Baseball do what the NBA does. When there's a play like that, you tweet out the reason for the overturn.
Yeah.
You tweet out so people know the reason that it was overturned or how the rule was applied. Because I think Greg may have hit the nail on the head, though. There were two things about the slide that stood out to me.
Yeah.
And I admit, when I first saw it, I thought they were going to appeal.
Well, they do it every time.
No, but two things. One, the roll over the bag, which I think was unnecessary.
Okay.
But the other thing is, and this is, boy, I mean, this is like, you know, really splitting hairs. The slide into second, Pilar's foot makes contact with the second base. Who was there at the time? With the second baseman's foot. His foot that's off the bag is the foot that Pilar makes contact.
Yeah, that to me, that's why it looked like he rolled.
But to me, you could almost say that he was trying to trip up the guy because that the point of contact was that foot off the bag. I'm trying to put myself in. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I'm trying to put myself into the mind of New York watching the replay. Clearly, the umpire didn't have an issue with it. The umpire was right
100%.
There. 100%. The umpire was right there.
Why have umpires? The first question I have is, why have an umpire? The umpire said exactly what you said.
Right. Well,
he was standing 3 feet from it. He had no issue whatsoever with it.
That's the purpose. That's the purpose of the review. And we can get into the whole idea you know, the whole discussion about whether or not managers should be able to review it themselves before they ask for a review, which I don't think they should. I think you should have to make the call right away if you're a manager. I have no problem with video review. I don't like the delay while you call somebody in the clubhouse to figure out whether or not you appeal. To me, if something strikes you as odd right away, you appeal. That's it. You don't get a chance to look at it in video review.
Well, most of the umpires have a lot of experience. There's only a select few that have just a couple of years in Major League Baseball that they would understand if a runner is trying to do anything whatsoever to the guy throwing the ball to first base.
Cesar Hernandez? Thank you.
Hernandez, yeah. Do anything whatsoever to that runner. To me, what it looked like is Pilar, yeah, he rolled a little, but it looked to me like Hernandez's foot being in front of the bag sort of stopped the momentum of Pilar. That's why it basically looked like he had to roll.
The foot was off. The foot was away from the bag. There was no reason to hit his foot.
To me, the rule says basically when you slide, you have to slide early.
Mm-hmm.
Pilar did that,
directly,
right?
Directly to the bag.
Pilar basically did. What it is, you need to slide to the bag where you can stay on the bag somehow, right?
Yeah.
Did Pilar not do that?
But his foot reached out and made contact with
the
foot off
the bag. This is
the
problem I have with the rule. You're guessing, sort of.
Yeah, I'm guessing. I have no clue.
What do you think? How do you think a player feels?
I'll tell you
what we're saying here. It's until they go and fix this rule somehow. How you fix it? Who knows?
Yep.
I don't know how you fix it, because that to me is just getting down to basically saying there's no right or wrong way to slide into second base. Every play at second, the opposing manager is going to challenge that play.
Look, it has to be reviewed. Baseball has to sit down and figure out how they get this right, how they adhere to the spirit of the rule. Because I understand what they're trying to do, and I'm okay with that, just as I'm okay with the play at home plate. But people need to remember, the play at home plate, that had to be changed too. I mean, they put the rule in. It wasn't working. They had to tweak it. They've got to tweak the rule at second base. And you can do it in season. It's not that hard.
Well, I think it will be hard because it's cost people games. It's cost the Blue Jays games. How would you – now you say, okay,
yeah,
you know we're changing the rule because
but
it's already cost you a game. It's hard to do.
Well, my argument would be it's already cost you a game. Would you rather have the rule changed so it doesn't cost you a game in September? Or would you rather leave it the way it is because it cost you a game in April?
It's going to be real hard to go to Mark Shapiro or anybody in the Blue Jays organization.
It isn't.
It's not going to be hard.
No, it isn't.
It's costing teams games.
Doesn't matter.
Cost the Astros a game.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to do that.
It's do you get it right in the future? What happened?
The only
in the
issue
past
I have
happened,
is
do you get it right in the future?
We have a real problem coming on this show and actually talking about that rule around second base. The home plate rule is what it is. Mm-hmm. Basically, slide to the catcher gives you a path to slide. You slide to it. You're either out or you're safe. It's that simple.
But it wasn't. It wasn't my point, Kevin, was when they first drew up that rule, it wasn't that simple. They had to clarify it in season. They had to say, okay, we got that wrong. Here's what we mean. This is how it's changed. That's what they're going to have to do with the second base rule. It's not that hard. They changed the home plate rule halfway through the season. Mm. They can do the same thing with this.
The difference between the home base rule, home plate rule,
teams
and
games.
It costs teams runs. How many times does it happen at home plate?
It happened rarely.
How many times did it happen at second base?
The first season where that rule came into effect, you'd be surprised how many times it was.
Not as many as once a game. Basically, and now around there's, it's always happening around second base. And when players don't know how to slide into second base, give me a break. Not because it's the Blue Jays, because it's baseball and professional baseball players don't understand how to slide into second base. The right or the wrong way. So, how do you fix that?
Mm-hmm.
Forget about trying to tweak the play around second base. How do you fix it? Well, I talked to Marlo Hill a long time about that, and he said basically every time something happens at second base, we're going to challenge it.
Oh, here we go. Actually, Major League Baseball Replay does send out a tweet. So there you go. Thank you. That's okay, Blue Jays. Major League Baseball did send out the definition of the rule through MLB.com, and then it went out on Twitter. So there you go.
Did you have it? Do you have it, what it said?
Yes.
What did it say?
All it says here, Challenge call, Phillies challenge call that Kevin Pillar does not violate Rule 601J in the third call overturned violation. And does it say what the violation was? That's what I'm interested in.
I think I heard it when I was watching the game, something about the role.
Yeah.
Was what not, it was all about.
It's not the same as, it's not the same as, yeah, it's not the same as what other leagues do where they, here's the reason why.
Yeah.
You know, challenge in Phillies Blue Jays game overturned because players'
yeah.
foot made contact with. And
I just
think
it's a shame, Zoll. I think something's going to happen in the playoffs that's going to cost the team a game.
Mm-hmm.
It really sucks because it happens too often now. And you're telling me that every time something happens in, say, the eighth inning of a game, elimination game, you're telling me that every manager's not going to go, regardless of what it, how it looks, let's challenge it, because you never know.
That's why I'm saying.
Because nobody knows the rule.
That's why I'm saying they've got to tweak it.
It's terrible. They've
got to tweak it, and you got to do it in season. You can't wait until the off season. You've got to do it now.
Okay, I'll ask you, how would they tweak it and make it better?
That's the question. I think, you have to clarify it more. You have to clarify it more. And the problem is nobody knows the rule.
So basically
rule
you have the college
clarified.
Rule. Slide straight to the bag and do a pop-up slide. That's basically what it's going to come down to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the only question I would have with that is last night Hernandez's foot was in front of the bag.
Yep.
How do you slide? What if you can't slide through the bag or through his foot to get to the bag? Then what do you do?
I agree.
Is it the runner's fault or is it the thrower's fault?
Yep.
Well, they said last night it was the runner's fault. Because Pillar could touch the bag. He was on the bag when the throw was made. He didn't slide past the bag.
The point is, right now, if you're a second baseman, you are going to stand your ass in the bag.
Yeah.
Because as long as you've got your ass in the bag.
And the good second baseman's basically been taken out of baseball now.
Yeah.
Because that play around second base, that was what it was all about.
Yeah.
Let's avoid the runner. Let's be quick with our hands. Let's, take the throw from wherever it's at, shortstop, third base.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make the quicker turn. You don't have to do that now.
We'll be joined, by the way, at 11:40 by Pat Tabler, and we'll talk to Pat about that particular play. Yeah, I know he did. He and Buck were both.
Yeah.
Well, Buck doesn't like it either.
No.
It's hard to let's put it this way. Even those of us who agree with the intent of the rule don't like the fact that it's being used the way it's being used right now. And that has to change. There has to be a further examination of the rule. They cannot go into the postseason with this rule the way it is. They just can't. And it's that simple. Either you review it and you
When do you change it? Tomorrow, All-Star break,
you can change
next
it,
week?
Change it at the
when
all,
do you do that?
Change it at the All-Star break. Change it at the All-Star break.
I'm just telling you, that's going to be a hard sell with people
Kevin,
that have already lost games because of that rule.
But you know
it's
what?
It's going to be tough.
It is what it is. You're just going to have to live with it. And again, the point is, okay, this is wrong. But because we don't want to alienate, we don't want to upset three teams who've lost games because of this, we're not going to change it. We're going to leave it so that maybe three more teams can lose games. You know, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again when it doesn't work. So it's pretty clear. If you're going to change the rule, you change the rule. And I'm sorry if you lost a game by it, but as I said, better to have that game lost in April than on September 29th. Much better than on September 29th. Taking a look around Major League Baseball, Colby Lewis had a perfect game against Oakland last night, settled for a complete game. Instead, lost the perfect game, lost a no-hitter. Boy, the outfield in Oakland claimed that. Robin Ventura, according to John Heyman, Robin Ventura, manager of the Chicago White Sox, is on the hot seat. My thought, why hasn't he been ejected off the hot seat by now?
You're only as good as your players sometimes, right?
Well, yeah. But you know what? Managers do get fired. That was a team that was expected to do better. That was the team that was doing better. And this, just a further update on how good the Cubs are. I mean, I don't even know why we bother looking at these numbers, but the Cubs are on pace for a run differential of plus 402. That would be the best of any 162-game season in baseball history. The best run differential of all time was set by the 1939 Yankees, who were plus 411. When they went 106-45, they played 151 games. they went 106-45. So there you go. A 402 run differential so far, plus 402 run differential for the Cubs. Newsflash. Cubs are good. There will be.
The Cardinals are 20-12 on the road and 9.5
out.
That's something, right?
That is bad.
That's unbelievable.
Let's give you the pitching rundown for this weekend. By the way, we talked about Aaron Sanchez and Mike Wright. That's a matchup tonight. First pitch, 7 o'clock. Saturday's game is a 4:05 p.m. Eastern start. R.A. Dickey on the mound for the Jays. Giovanni Gallardo on the mound for the Baltimore Orioles. Sunday is a 1:35 first pitch. Marcus Stroman for the Blue Jays. Chris Tillman for the Baltimore Orioles. So you've got three start times, 7:05 tonight, 4:05 on Saturday, and 1:35 p.m. on Sunday. The Jays have Monday off. They're home to face the Arizona Diamondbacks for a couple of games.
And how big are these three games for the Jays?
Well, we talked about this. They're two out. Baltimore's in first, leading Boston by one. The Jays are two back. They're done with the American League East until July 29th after this series against Baltimore. They've played more games inside the East than any other team in the division. To me, you win two of three here, and you say, you know what? That's mission accomplished.
Yep.
If you're going on the road for 5.5 weeks and you're outside your division, being in first place in your division is pretty good because you're not going to be able to take care of business in front of you.
Yep.
Now you're gonna, and you know what you got? You got to hope that the Yankees hurt the Orioles a bit, that the Rays hurt the Red Sox a bit, that the Yankees hurt the Red Sox a bit. You basically got to stand back, take care of your business in the other division, and just kind of hope that everything washes out, that you've got a whole bunch of 500 going on in the American League East. I really, considering everything this team has gone through, if they come out of this series in first place,
can they do it with no Jose Bautista?
Yes. I think they can beat these guys with no Jose Bautista. For those of you who don't know, Jose Bautista, we don't know the extent of the injury. He injured himself last night. His left foot appeared to get caught and appeared to hit the outfield scoreboard. There's kind of a wire mesh in front of it. We're led to believe it was a toe injury. Jose Bautista left the game. We do know he had x-rays. Arden Zwelling told us on the Jeff Blair show this morning that he saw Jose Bautista in the clubhouse in his street clothes, but he didn't have a shoe in his left foot, and he was going to get some therapy. There was no announcement as to the result of the x-ray, whether it was negative or anything like that. I'm presuming we will find out today. If they don't have Jose Bautista, well, you know,
Carrera probably lead off, I would think, right?
Based on the way Ezekiel Carrera's been hitting, I still think they have a chance. It's going to come down to me, winning this series comes down to tomorrow's game. R.A. Dickey. If R.A. Dickey can beat Giovanni Gallardo, if R.A. Dickey can keep it in the yard, I think.
See, I don't think that. I think it's all about scoring runs. I really do. I think it's getting off to a quick start like they have been, getting the big hit early, taking a lot of pressure off everybody else. You see what big of a deal that is to this team.
And we should also mention, by the way, that, as hot as Edwin is, Adam Jones is pretty damn hot right now, too. He's heating up. He's got 8 home runs. Different hitter since he's been moved.
Okay, Russell Martin's hotter. Donaldson's hotter. Saunders, we never talk about, has consistently been hot all year. He can stay on the field. He's going to be a big plus to this team. You got Devin Travis is starting to pull baseballs, which is a big deal.
But the Orioles have
Ryan
Chris
Goins.
Davis.
Yeah, but you got 4, 5, or 6 guys. You know what you do against guys you can't get out? Don't pitch to them.
Yeah, you can't do that. Not early in the game, you can't. Aaron Sanchez.
I'll say this again. I said this whenever I was I was with Jerry when David Ortiz. There's one guy on that team you don't let him beat you ever. Well, that was David Ortiz.
I think when that lineup's that, if you've got Aaron Sanchez out there, you can't tell Sanchez.
I'll go with Greg Zahn. Get everybody else out around him, and then you can pitch around him when you need to. How about that?
No.
Well, that's how you lose games.
You go after.
You pitch to win, right?
If you're going to be my ace, you better be able to get Chris Davis.
What did the Cubs do to Bryce Harper early in the season?
True.
They pitched around him because all they wanted to do is separate them from everybody else in the National League. Why wouldn't the Blue Jays do that?
Don't like it.
Well, whether you like it or not, you have to win games, right?
Don't like it. I want my guy to be able to go after.
Sometimes you got to be smarter than thinking you're better than somebody else when the guy's just hot. He basically dominates you. So don't let him beat you.
We are going to disagree.
Well, when we come Which back on okay. Monday and he hits and he wins a game for them, and I'm going to just let you
That's fine.
What you need to say to me.
That's fine. Okay? That's fine. I'm not going to apologize. I'm just telling you. My ace has got to be able to handle that guy. That's all there is to it.
If I've
got a piece of poo on the mound, then I'm going to have him pitch
That's
around
not,
Chris
I'm not,
Davis.
I'm not saying pitch around him, but I'm saying, hey, I throw 97 with 6-inch sink. Why don't I have Russell Martin set up on the outside corner and let my sink go where it may? And if he swings at it,
all right.
Don't throw him something he can hit out of the park.
All right.
Elevate it because he doesn't like the ball up with some 98 in, and then go down and away off the plate. Let him get himself out. How about that? That's not called pitching around somebody, right?
Okay.
That's called making good pitches.
All right.
No?
All right.
I can see your face. You're not buying it.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you.
It's all about winning games, Jeff.
When I know that I have been bettered, I shut up.
Man, that's a first.
It's like when I don't trust people, I don't talk to them. When I know that I've been bettered, I shut up. Pat Tabler, our Blue Jays TV analyst, joins us at Baseball Central. The Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker, the home of the Blue Jays, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, it never rains but it pours. Pat Tabler will join us and the one and only Jim Palmer. And we will have Barker's Euro picks.
Woo-hoo.
See, if you picked a scoreless draw.
I will never. I will never do that.
That's such an American thing to do.
Who wants to watch 90 minutes of a tie? Not me, so I will not pick that.
You know, we should almost get these picks out of the way right now. Should we get these picks while we wait for Tabler? Yeah, we're going to get these picks out of the way. Here we go. Little baguette music for Monsieur Kevin Baquet. Mon petit chou, Monsieur
Baquet. Why is this your favorite segment?
Bonjour, Monsieur Baquet. Comment ça va? Comment ça va? Say ça va bien.
No.
Say ça va bien. Oh, Monsieur Baquet.
Okay, let's go.
Your choix. That's how you say choice in French. Your choix.
Okay.
Your choix for the two matches, the Czechs and Croatia and Spain and Turkey.
I'm going Croatia 1-0.
Okay. I thought you were going to go with the Czechs.
Was I?
Yeah.
I forgot. So I'm going to go the other one.
Okay. So Croatia 1-0.
I changed my mind.
Croatia 1-0. Spain and Turkey. Who's it all about? It's all about Iniesta, isn't it? Isn't that what we were talking about?
I think so.
Yes. Okay.
So, yeah, 2-1.
2-1 for Spain. So there you go. Barker's picks. 2-1 Spain over Turkey and 1-0 Croatia over the Czech Republic.
You definitely carried that segment that time.
No, it's all right. I was a little
upset. You overshadowed me right there.
I teed it up for you with Peter Cech and the Czech Republic.
Sometimes it's overwhelming.
I know.
Okay.
All right. Speaking of overwhelming, Pat Tabler and Buck Martinez, no doubters. They're still trying to figure out the slide rule at second base along with the rest of us. Pat Tabler joins us. All right, Pat, I know that you got it figured out now. So explain to me what the hell happened last night. I know you got it figured out, right?
Yeah, here's what I figured out. It's brutal, and they need to change the rule. It stinks. It's not right.
Okay.
How about a little common sense around second base? What do you think?
Okay, Jeff says you can change it, we'll say tomorrow, and I say no because people have already lost games. You have to wait to the end of the year. Can they change it now, and that's acceptable?
No. I think I'm citing you on this one right here. Blue Jays have lost a couple of games like this on slides like this. So how can you change it in midstream? I think they need to go back to the Players Association and say, hey, guys, you know, what do you want to do about this here? And everybody get their heads together and decide what's best for baseball. I mean, it's pretty obvious when a guy like Chase Utley rips out a guy's knee to try and break up a double play. And what Kevin Pillar did yesterday, he slid into the bag. The guy's foot was in the way because he couldn't clear himself. Pillar hits his foot. The momentum trips him up. He rolls over the bag, holds on to the bag, and it's called a double play. We need a little bit more common sense, I think, put into this game on this slide rule.
Yeah, well said. Now, I heard you and Buck yesterday talking about Jay Happ throwing the slider harder. He's throwing it almost 86 miles an hour. Tell me why that matters when he pitches.
Well, he's getting that late movement. It looks like a fastball, like it's coming in like a fastball at mid-80s, and you said eight and an 86 yesterday, and then he's got that movement on it. The whole thing for him is when he thinks about the slider – in his mind, he thinks spinning the ball and getting on the side of the ball. When he thinks cutter, he's like, throw it like a fastball and throw it harder, and he's getting that late movement down and away to lefties and in on righties, and it's been a great pitch for him.
In conversation with Pat Tabler on Baseball Central, one of the things one of the big stories that has emerged this month is Edwin. He's almost as hot now as he was in August of last year. He's got 12 games left. There's still plenty of time to collect more RBI. Pat, I mean, you were a real good hitter. You know what it's like to go on a roll.
Wait a minute. Not like this.
Not like this, but okay.
This is like a season for me.
All right.
Okay, he's doing it in a month. All right.
I was trying to clarify that. I was trying to pump you up a bit, but
here's
my question. This is a guy who was getting eaten up by off-speed pitches earlier in the year. He was getting, eaten up by pitches outside the zone. Now he can go up and look for a curve and hit a home run on a pretty good curveball by a pretty good curveball pitcher. What explains this difference? Do you think maybe we underestimated just how much Edwin missed spring training this year?
Yeah, just think how good he'd be if he had a full spring training, if he went out there. That's just his game plan, no spring training. Remember May a couple of years ago?
Yep.
Where he had, 20 home runs or something like that. Ridiculous in the month of May. He's just one of those streaky hitters that when he finds it, you can't get him out. And when he gets his pitches, he doesn't miss them. Brooke was telling me the other day that he felt like, he hits from an open stance. And if he doesn't take that foot back to the pitcher where he – I don't even want to say step in the bucket. You've heard that as a kid. But you step towards the third baseman and not the pitcher where you're anticipating the ball inside. That has a tendency to mess him up. Right now he's going right back with his front foot back to the pitcher, and that's keeping him on all of his pitches. And I talked to him the other day, and I said, what's going on? He said, they've been pitching me away, fastballs away, breaking balls away. And when I get my pitch, I can't miss it. Well, they're missing their spots. They're still pitching him away, but when they miss their spots, he's crushing the ball right now. And he's just in one of those grooves right now, and everything is working together. His swing is all working together. The foot's getting down in time. His timing is perfect. He's a big guy with a short swing and a flat bat, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
So there's not a lot of extra wasted motion in his swing, and when he hits it, it's gone.
Chris Black, by the way, producer at Sportsnet, just sent along this. Edwin has a higher slugging percentage this month than that May when he hit 16 home runs. That's something.
Wow.
Else. That's something. Wow. Else. Go ahead, Tavi.
That's amazing. Well, hey, Tavi, I was going to ask you, I asked Jeff this earlier. Obviously, they're going to Baltimore for the next three games. Baltimore's in first place. How important are these three games for the Blue Jays?
I think they're huge. I think this is a huge series for the Jays. They don't get back into the East for 30 games. This is their chance to make some ground head-to-head with the Orioles. Orioles are a good team, and you don't think they want to have a little payback to the Blue Jays for what happened last weekend at Rogers Center when the Jays took 3 out of 4 from Baltimore and just mashed up their bullpen a little bit? I think this is a huge series. They've lined up their best pitchers. We're throwing some really good pitchers at them, too. So I think it's going to be a huge series. And the thing about the Jays is they always seem to, rise to the occasion, don't they, against these good teams? They always seem to bring their best games. So we'll see. I think it's going to be grind-them-out baseball just like it was last weekend. Long games, a lot of walks, a lot of bullpen moves, a lot of hitting. just strap it on and let's go play him. It's going to be fun.
Pat, we appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much as always. Thanks,
okay, Pat. Guys, enjoy the game tonight.
Take care. This is Pat Tabler, our Blue Jays TV analyst. Let's bring in the Baltimore Orioles TV analyst, Jim Palmer, joining us on Baseball Central. Good morning, Mr. Palmer.
How are you?
We're doing well. Gotta talk a little bit about before we deal with the Orioles pitching. Want to talk a little bit about Adam Jones, because you know in this city right now we're all worked up about Edwin Encarnacion and the role he's been on. But boy, Adam Jones looks a different guy since he's moved into the leadoff spot. What are you seeing?
Well, you know, we went down to Houston. Well, I don't know what, probably 3-4 weeks ago, and set one of the all-time records for strikeouts. And you know, Adam hurt himself. In a typical year for him. I mean, maybe he's never hit as many as Edwin hit last year. When Edwin hit, 39? And, you know, Batista hit 40, and Donaldson hit 41. But Adam's usually somewhere between 28, 32, 285. So, you know, he kind of hurt his ribs and maybe strained his front shoulder, which gets you to the ball in April. So he hit, 221 with a home run. But yes, he has hit 8 this month. And, you know, he's not your prototypical leadoff guy because he doesn't steal bases. He used to a little bit, and he doesn't walk a lot. You know, he's not like Jose Bautista. I mean, it's not like John Gibbons could put Adam Jones, if he was his manager, and say, okay, you know, he's got to have an on-base percentage around 40% of the time. That's just not the way Adam operates. But, you know, he's a Gold Glove center fielder. He's aggressive. And he's also the team leader. I mean, he has the longest tenure of anybody there, and it just seemed like it made a good move. We have a Rule 5 guy, Joey Rickard, who, I mean, he played his pants off up in Boston defensively, but he's learning. He had 89 bats at AAA, so he was leading off a little bit. You know, Manny Machado's led off in years past, but he had 35 home runs last year, so you'd like him down the lineup. So it just seemed like, again, you're looking for offense. We hit a lot of home runs, but we don't have a lot of team speed, and Adam, he's kind of seized it and run with it. And, all of a sudden he's healthy, and I think he really kind of relishes this role.
Yeah, every staff needs a guy you can hang your hat on. Chris Tillman obviously has been that guy this season for the Orioles. Is that the best you've seen him pitch?
Well, he won 11-11 last year. He had a 7-game losing streak, and then he really came on at the end of the year. The year before he won 13 games, 16 the year before. But even in 2014, when the Orioles won 96 games, Camden Yards is a pretty tough place to pitch. 20 out of 21 consecutive games at home and road, 3 runs or less. Now that's pitching, especially in the American League East. You play a lot of your games, with the exception of Tampa, the Trop. Every ballpark's a great hitter's park. So, he's our ace. He started in November along with Zach Britton, who's one of the best closers in baseball, and they started their conditioning program. They both live down where the Orioles train in Sarasota, and Britton's coming off 3 back-to-back-to-back really good years, and I don't think Chris liked being mediocre at 11-11. ERA went up, maybe a run and a quarter, so he got himself in shape. He's healthy. Had a little bit of a groin knee problem last year. A lot of times I think as you mature, you have maybe add a pitch, throws a few more sliders, so it gives them 4 pitches to choose from. Don't always have to have all 4 working, but it's nice to have 4 to select from. And the game he pitched up in Boston on Tuesday night against David Price, Price is 0-3 in the month of June, even though he's really pitched well, but he just outpitched him. Price made 2 mistakes, 2-run home run, sliced home run inside the pesky pole down the right field line, and then a slider in the 8th inning. In between, he retired 19 in a row. Tillman retired 12. And it kind of reminded me when I pitched, because, you had guys who were going to pitch deep into the game, and, 1 or 2 pitches could make a difference in the game.
Jim, we really appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much. Wish we had a little more time to talk to you. Always a pleasure. Jim Palmer, the terrific TV analyst of the Baltimore Orioles. So, for Jim Palmer, Pat Tabler, Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us on Baseball Central. Enjoy the baseball this weekend. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you Monday.